Take a deep breath. And remember, there's a power. Breathing you. This is your space of sanity in an evolving world, where we learn about spiritual law and how to apply it to our lives in a way that is practical and life-changing. This is where we remember truth to make the world a better place, one person at a time. I'm Claire Lautier, inspirational speaker, teacher of the technology of transformation, and a certified life mastery consultant and spiritual growth mentor. Welcome to the Grace Space. About a year ago, I had the honor of a visit from one of my young students. She came to stay with me for several days, fresh off a transformative retreat in the mystical rolling hills of the Corbière, not far from where I live. Her visit unfolded effortlessly in the flow, sharing the beauty of the surrounding nature, breathing, storytelling, doing some yoga, doing our usual coaching session in person, and punctuated with some simple, delightful meals that she quietly and lovingly prepared for us without any prompting from me. One day, she said to me with her refreshing blend of innocence and naturalness, "Did you know that you have a dragon on your land?" Well, I mean, it's not every day someone asks you that. At once charmed, bemused, and strangely excited, I could feel my heart quicken. I don't know why, but it made total sense. "Really?" I replied, "tell me more." She shrugged like it was totally normal. "Yeah, it's a strong energy. I feel it mostly over there." She indicated the spot occupied by a stone water basin and a pine tree. "But it's a female dragon energy." She watched me, absorbing the words, and then said sweetly, "Would you like me to facilitate an introduction? It would be nice if you acknowledged her." Well, I'm not one to refuse meeting a dragon. Plus, I felt a little thick and regretful that I wasn't sensitive enough to pick up on that energy. Or maybe I had picked up on the energy, but I hadn't made the association with dragons. Well, that's the excuse I made for myself anyway. In any case, a couple days later, when it felt right, she guided me in an impromptu meditation to connect. My 3D mind wanted a concrete encounter with the alleged dragon, but my 5D knowingness allowed for interpretation of frequencies. At one point, I was surrounded by a pulsating bubble of warmth, and I felt a presence of gentle but undeniable power and wisdom. "You have permission to ask for her name," whispered my student, who had now become my teacher. Inexplicably, the sound luz, which is Spanish for light, floated up through the center of my body. For some reason, when I'm out in nature here or gardening, the little bits of communication from my spirit seem to choose Spanish as the preferred language. Who knows? Who knows why? I mean, the Spanish border danced around here during the Middle Ages, rushing in and out like a wave until it settled on the current location. "Luz is going to help you through your transformation," she continued. "You can invoke her energy for purification and protection." Did she use those words exactly? I don't really remember now, but that's what remains with me as the essence of what she said. And I did invoke the dragon energy thereafter in some of my personal practice work, and I noticed dragon symbolism popping up around me, visually, in conversations I listened to, and astrologically. Dragon symbolism is multifaceted, and it evokes dualistic interpretation. In other words, some people in traditions see dragons as good and some see them as bad. You're never sure if they're going to bless you or kill you. If you're going to be able to ride the dragon and fly into the sky or be incinerated by it. But therein lies the power and the mystery. I see a trinity of attributes embodied by dragon energy. personal empowerment, the unknown, and transformation. Personal empowerment, I think of as the harnessing of inner power, strength, and authority through internal versus external references. Dragons also represent the magic and the mystery of the unknown and the challenges and the obstacles we meet there, the ensuing wisdom and connection to our intuition that we gain from facing the unknown, and thus they also represent change and transformation. All these things are connected. By facing our fears and entering the unknown, we allow for transformation and we reconnect to our innate power. At that time, I knew I was heading into a change or a pole shift where everything would be upended. Nothing would be as it had been. Maybe that was why I felt a quiet thrill when I first learned of the dragon energy, as if the very land which had drawn me so inexorably to France had been confirmed in its magical potency. Even the name of the land from hundreds of years before, La Fargo, which is Old Occitan for the forge, breathed fire and smoke, as if it too had been drawn there by the dragon energy. All I know is the nature of this land is transformation, and for me anyway, living there, the heavenly smith hammered away at my resistance and the hard shell of my ego, working me into pliancy like a glowing piece of iron. Obey. Obey the Dharma. Let go of your resistance and take the shape that I intend for you, not the one you want for yourself. As the months passed, the invisible lifelong armor of protection built by my deepest fears became suffocatingly constraining. I was doing daily work with a jade yoni egg, and I felt myself breaking apart from the inside, as if some unstoppable emanation of light could no longer be contained by my dense and obfuscating body. The cracks were apparent, and I couldn't hold myself together anymore. Even though I longed to be free of the persona, even though I knew it was only a matter of time now before all the forms around me began to fall away, it was like a long, slow walk to the chopping block. Like the execution day was on the horizon, the axe was hovering, and soon my head would be severed and roll away. Give up your head, my teacher would say with portentous glee. Now I knew what he meant. Sacrifice your egoic sense of identity. Die to the personal self, everything that you've built, and be reborn. It's about seeing it for what it is, which is just an elaborate construction. But I dreaded what all of that meant for others and for all the castles I had built on sand from that carefully constructed and closely guarded sense of self. Today, I can see that although I had undergone many periods of purification since 2012, this gentle moment of meeting the dragon energy facilitated by this gentle soul marked an initiation of sorts into a deeper letting go than anything I had allowed into my life before. It was the precursor to this recent and ongoing series of deaths and endings and stripping away of dearly held protections and projections. I have felt at times like I was burning, like my heart was on fire, like my energy field was hot and jagged. In yoga, the word for purification is tapas. The verb tap in Sanskrit literally means to heat. Tapas is also translated as austerities. In other words, the practice of certain austerities as a means of burning away our corruption. But it's not about practicing the austerities for their own sake. And this is the thing that people get hung up on. In and of themselves, the austerities mean nothing. The Buddha did all that. He did all of fasting. He did all of the austerities. But he didn't become enlightened until after he'd let go of all that stuff. So they will not make you enlightened, but the practice of austerities like sexual abstinence or fasting, for example, brings up our attachments and resistances. We're attached to our way of eating, for example, right? To what we eat and when and how much. So if we then choose to fast, we will quickly become aware of all the ways that we use food to avoid discomfort that we feel when we remove food as a possibility for distraction or escape, right? So the austerities expose our addictions, right? So more generally, tapas is the fire of yoga, the fire that purifies and transforms. You understand that I'm not talking about yoga as a mere physical practice, but yoga as a way of life, which is single-mindedly focused on union with the true self or God. We need to be purified. We are corrupted. Now, these terms are really easy to misunderstand, so let's be clear. I'm talking about purification, not puritanism. Purification is an alchemical process of transformation that involves the body and the psyche. It starts with admitting that we are full of corruption, in other words, false programming and conditioning that cause us to see ourselves as less than divine, to see life and ourselves in a false and distorted way. And that is at the root of all suffering. Puritanism, on the other hand, sees purification as a necessary punishment for original sinfulness. It's full of judgment and condemnation. And it's part of our conditioning in this matrix that we have to purify ourselves from, right? It is itself a corruption, a conditioning in deep-seated self-loathing and the rejection of our divine nature, right? If they can keep you disempowered that way, separated from the knowledge of your true nature, well, you're just, you know, you can play into the hands of interests that don't have your best interests at heart. So this is just so baked into us that it's largely unconscious. We're really not aware of that until we start doing the work. Listen to those birds, my God, they're so lovely. When I speak of corruption, I think of it in terms of something that's out of whack, like a corrupted file on your computer. It's causing things to get buggy and not function the way they were designed to. Corruption is the angle of distance or dissonance between your true self and what you believe yourself to be. It's how far we've strayed from the Dharma, the path, the way, and it measures the degree of our suffering. Corruption has no power over your true self, which is ever true, ever perfect, whole, and complete. The self, capital S, is incorruptible. The self is not what needs to be purified. It's what's left once the corruption has been burned away. It's the pure essence of your being. If you're going through a tough period, if you feel like things are not going your way, that you're being tried, pressured, broken, if everything you thought you could count on has evaporated, if you're filled with disenchantment, despair, anguish, disgust, if you want your old life back, you're longing for the past, or betting everything on a better future, if you're still trying to be someone and you feel lost, if you're frustrated because you can't get what you want, you're going through a purification, and it's good news. Purification has nothing to do with our preferences. It's not about what we want or don't want. It is a letting go of everything that isn't true, that isn't you. Usually when we're undergoing a purification, we don't want it, right? We resist it, we reject it, we say, this shouldn't be happening, because it isn't what we want, because it's threatening our sense of self, our limited sense of self. So we make the universe wrong. We question the higher order as if we knew better than the infinite with our teeny tiny vision of life. No, I don't like this. This isn't working for me. This universe has been expanding for nearly 14 billion years, but I've been here for 53, and I know a thing or two about how things should be. And I know that if I don't like it, it must be wrong. Something's out of order in this universe. Everything has to be the way I want it to be so that I can feel okay. And if it isn't the way that I want, I have the right to be upset. Wah! I mean, this is what we do, isn't it? That's the ego. Forever a two-year-old having a temper tantrum when the stars don't align the way we think they should. We are so afraid. We are holding on so tight because we think we're in control. And this is what's being purified. This is what's being burned away. Thy will be done, not mine. Purification is helping us get to the point where we know that thy will, the universe's will, is what's best for us. Not my will, not the personal will, warped and distorted as it is by all our samskaras. My will is what has made the world what it is today. My will has made me sick in body and soul and mind. My will is always trying to get what I want and believing that what I want must be the best thing for me because I want it. You can't get out of that circular reasoning. I want a bag of Doritos, but I know that's not the best thing for me. I want the Doritos because they're full of addictive chemicals and I grew up on them. I associate them with comfort, with satisfaction, with watching Scooby-Doo, and they did something to my brain and body years ago to make me still want them even though I know they're full of poison. We want all kinds of things that aren't good for us. My will has led me knee-deep into karma over and over. I don't want my will anymore. I want thy will. Because the power that's breathing us knows what we need. It knows how to evolve us. It knows how to alchemize us, transform us. Life is happening. It's just unfolding. Everything happens as a consequence of the infinite field of intelligence, not because of you or me or what we want or don't want. Because of everything that ever was, because of forever in both directions. It's not personal, but it's always perfect for us. Purification happens. We can either go with it or resist it. We can be dragged there or participate in the process. When we know it's inevitable, right? When we finally give up the struggle, we can become active and conscious in our purification process and help it along. We are one with all creation. We are a fractal, right? This is the first law. Let's recognize ourselves as versions in miniature of the entire creation. The body of the earth is our body. If we look at the earth and feel sad and bleak because of the condition she's in, but feel justified in blaming other evildoers and feeling virtuous by comparison, we've totally missed the point. The corruption I see out there must also be in me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to see it. I'm a fractal of the whole creation. So everything out there is already in here, and everything in here is being reflected to me out there. When we demonize some other and make them responsible for the bad things that are happening, and I put bad in air quotes because who are we to say what's good or bad in the scheme of things? Things are. They just are. Yeah, but what if we blow ourselves up and humanity ends? Well, we've done it before. There have been several humanities before this one came along, and yet here we are again. If we demonize some other for what we deem bad, we have not integrated the first law. The one is in all, in the tiniest fragment of creation. Split a piece of wood and I am there. And the tiniest fragment of creation contains all that is, and all are one. Therefore, nothing can be separated from my being or yours. When I'm being purified, all of creation is being purified. In other words, transmuted to a higher form, to a higher order. And this is the destiny of all creation, evolution to a higher order. We must evolve, and purification is a natural and necessary part of the process. It's not the end of the world. It's the beginning. We know this intuitively. The ancient art of alchemy, transmutation, that I devoted a whole series of episodes to in season 3, is the expression of this intuitive knowing that what we truly are is not of this world. Alchemy is the attempt to purify base metals and refine them into gold, which is just what the stars do in a way. The stars are the factories that produce all the elements of the periodic table, starting with hydrogen to helium and all the way up to all the elements of the periodic table, including the gold and silver and platinum. By a process of transmutation, the life cycle of a star is the formation of all the elements that make up creation, that make up our bodies and everything we perceive in the material universe. Alchemy on the spiritual level is the purification of our baser, denser, lower frequency energies to reveal the high frequency energies of our true nature. We are spirit, descended into flesh. To get here, we have to step down the high frequency vibration of spirit to enter the world of form. And as we do, a heavy veil of forgetting is part of the process. Belief in a separate self is part of the process. I love the story of one of the gods of the Hindu pantheon, and I don't remember which one it was, who loved cows so much that he wanted to experience what it was like to be a cow. Since he was a god, he could do whatever he wanted, so he turned himself into a cow. Problem was, as soon as he was a cow, he had a cow's mind, and he forgot that he was actually a god. He was now a cow, and highly unlikely to contemplate its god nature. So the other gods had to come down and rescue him, or he would have remained in ignorance of his true state forever. Well, this is also our predicament. You have to die to your true nature to come here, and to get back, you have to die to the false persona you created. But once you're a cow, and you believe you're a cow, it's all you've ever known. You're identified with it. And now you want to protect your life as a cow because the alternative is what? The unknown. Our animal brain is set up to protect us from the unknown. It compares every experience to what's already in the data bank to determine whether it's safe to move forward. The unknown doesn't fit with anything that's already known. That's why it's the unknown. So the animal brain is like, nope, we're not doing that. We don't know what that is. The risk to our survival is too great. Who wants to give up the known when contemplating the alternative brings up the specter of death? That's the unknown, right? And this is what makes purification necessary. Purification is a kind of death, a stripping away of belief systems, of parts of our life, of relationships, of all kinds of things we previously depended on for our sense of identity. Periods of great loss and endings are purification, the death of the familiar self and its world. Many a time I've heard a client say, I don't know who I am anymore. And my reply is, that's great. You're being purified. Die into it. We must face the specter of death to go beyond it by dying every day to the one we think we are. The fear of death is that either we actually die or we die symbolically but continue on in the body, which teaches us, little by little, that the experience of the unknown did not mean literal death, which gives us something to compare future unknowns to. Well, I didn't actually die last time, and I even learned something. I grew when I faced that scary dragon. What seems to block the way or guard the treasure is what must be integrated. The thing you're afraid is going to kill you or eat you alive or burn you to a crisp can potentially unleash a great power of expansion, flight, and light. Life purifies us all on its own by bumping up against and activating our samskaras, the unresolved past in us that we're resisting or clinging to. We don't have to go looking for what to deal with next. All you have to do is feel for what doesn't feel good inside you, for where you're protecting yourself, defending yourself, or trying to prove something. Just feel for what you're afraid of, for what's disturbing you, annoying you, or obsessing you. Life is attempting to purify you through those perturbations. It's your friend. When we feel that stuff, it's an opportunity to let go. Relax your body. Breathe. Surrender. Allow the purification to happen. Burn. Walk through the fire of the feelings that you've been keeping at bay. Allow them to be felt. As soon as they invade you, they're in movement, which means they're no longer stuck inside you. Let them release. I can't help but be reminded of the series Game of Thrones and the journey of the character Daenerys Targaryen. When we first meet her, she's this timid, meek, terrified virgin of royal lineage whose brother sells her in marriage to a savage warlord. We watch her gradually fall in love with her husband as she finds her inner strength and takes her place at his side as his queen. Then, through a series of terrible misfortunes and dark magic, she loses everything. Husband, baby, position. Life takes everything from her. Consumed with grief and despair, she walks into the raging fire of her dead husband's funeral pyre. We assume she's dead, but then, in a season-ending cliffhanger, we find her at dawn among the smoking ruins of her life, reborn, naked, all her clothes burned away, but her skin untouched by the fire. Everything has been burned away, but Daenerys and three fossilized dragon eggs that she had received as wedding gifts. Miraculously, the stone eggs have come to life in the extreme heat of the funeral pyre and hatched three tiny dragons. At this moment of purification, death, and rebirth, she transitions from an ordinary woman with the title of queen to a kind of goddess, ascending the true throne of power, which, of course, is within. Alone and complete unto herself, she's mastered the element of fire. Thereafter, she's known as the mother of dragons and becomes a great leader of people. Now, that's purification. What is revealed by the process of purification is the true self, the embodiment of all these attributes of dragon energy. Transformation has led to empowerment as inner strength and a deep, unshakable connection to intuition. The unknown becomes your resting place, and you fully trust the mystery and magic of how life unfolds perfectly every moment. You embody this unknown as alert presence, alive to the ever-changing flow of life. Your comfort zone is now welcoming the moment that is right now with total trust. You are vulnerably open and yet invulnerable, needing no one's approval, acting with a sense of authority that comes from being fearlessly your purified self. And all of this without aggression. It's an embracing that allows for others to be what and where they are. You feel protected and secure, standing on your own two feet, needing no one's energy, and overflowing with your own. If we allow ourselves to be purified by life, it reveals that we are, in fact, a closed system that operates on the principle of universal expansion or abundance. We have everything we need. The more we let go of what isn't natural, the more balanced we become, and the more we discover we already have everything. We are whole. We are complete in and of ourselves, and we were made that way. We have it all literally inside ourselves. We are perfect, whole, and complete already. And why should that come as a surprise? Our planet and our entire universe operate by those same principles. When not interfered with, the Earth rapidly reestablishes homeostasis, something we all witnessed during the pandemic with the diminution of certain human activities during confinement. Everything grew wild quickly again. When we don't interfere with our own natural functioning, the same balance returns to our own perturbed systems. Purification returns us to a higher order of functioning on all the levels of our being. In upcoming episodes, and at the risk of raising some eyebrows, I'll reveal some of the self-love techniques and healing therapies that I've been using on myself to cooperate with the intense process of purification I've been going through. Maybe they can help you too, if you have the courage to embrace sacred intimacy. More on that another time. I'll see you soon. Meanwhile, walk in grace. Thank you for joining me in the grace space, where you're always in the right place. If you love this podcast, I invite you to subscribe to it and submit a review.